The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Very busy Wednesday morning, very rainy Wednesday morning here on the Brad Sessmatt Show. I'm Jordan Hamm from our Skyview Network Studios on Sports360AZ.com. Follow us on Twitter, on the Gram, on Facebook, on TikTok. No, we don't have a TikTok. Not yet. Who the heck knows? We'll see one day. Got a lot to get to. I'm going to be talking some recruiting. Going to be hearing from Brock Dew of Castile, the offensive lineman. This is a guy that first offer came from Oregon, has seen a lot of the Ivy Leagues, a lot of the academies. Looking at him, has an interesting background. Very high GPA, wrestles, track, does just about everything. This is a guy that is the type of guy that'll just make your football team better. But he's 6 foot two. So, and, you know, some of the coaches looking at him have said he has short arms. So how does he navigate that? What sort of opportunities is he looking at? There's a lot to dive in with him. And he's a really interesting dude. So we're going to play our interview from Valle Luna. We had a shoot out there last week talking to some of the top players, coaches in the Southeast Valley, and enjoyed getting to chat with Brock about that. Also going to be touching on recruiting. A lot of stuff going on. You know, with offers, with visits, guys are on spring break right now. That means they have a week to go out and go check out campuses. So busy time of year with that. So we're just going to jump right into it. This is our rundown brought to you by Sagicor Now. Sagicor Now, protect what matters most. And with, you know, the Arizona Cardinals, as we look at it, they're roughly a week away from free agency, and I think this is going to really dictate how the draft goes for them. I know we've looked so much with the NFL Combine going on. I have said publicly, I think you can probably address some other areas before getting a wide receiver, a CeeDee Lamb, a Jerry Jeudy. They would be game changers, but I think you can find some pretty darn good options in the second round. And look, as Cliff Kingsbury is this offensive wizard, Kyler Murray is an up-and-coming quarterback showing a lot of promise. With wide receivers, I feel like it's Steve Nash. You know, whether that's Murray, whether that's Kingsbury, it's when the Suns were in their heyday, guys were seeing their production go up because of Steve Nash. Quentin Richardson was kind of like a no-name player going into, not a no-name player, but not the level that he was with the Suns. James Jones, we saw, really took steps in his career. Joe Johnson, you know, a lot of different players, Channing Frye, you know, you can go down the list. Guys saw career resurgences with Steve Nash. And I think that you could probably see that with a Cliff Kingsbury offense now in year two and a Kyler Murray in year two as well. They can help up the game of, I think, wide receivers more so than an offensive lineman, more so than the defense. That certainly. You know, that's going to be more so on Vance Joseph to get that up and running. So that's why I think you use that eighth pick maybe on somewhere elsewhere. Just, you can't really necessarily, I mean, you can go wrong, but there are plenty of options for them where you look and say, you know, like, that's not really a position need for them. They could use an extra, you know, high talented player in the secondary. They could use a versatile monster like Isaiah Simmons. They could use a guy in the middle of that defensive line like Derrick Brown paired with Chandler Jones. They could use someone opposite Chandler Jones. They could use someone on the right side of that offensive line now that DJ Humphries is locked up. And then eventually maybe that right tackle becomes the left tackle to take over once a DJ moves on from the Cardinals, whenever that is. But that's why I think not only with the depth, but with the system, the wide receivers could be, you know, better suited in potentially the second round, because there are a lot of really good options out there. The T. Higgins of the world, the Michael Pittmans of the world. You could probably get him a little bit later. But again, this is all speculation. But I think you're going to see a much clearer picture come free agency. of Steve Keim has come out and said, we're not going to break the bank on anybody. We're going to try to address this team and improve this team, but be responsible while doing it. And so I don't think there are going to be many home run swings from the Arizona Cardinals, but I think that they can make some improvements and fill some holes, and that'll help the public kind of get an idea of where they might be going with that eighth pick, with that 40th overall pick, that second round pick as well. It was interesting. I was thinking back to last year's draft, and you know, when it's the NFL draft, I just kind of live out at the Cardinals facility. You know, a lot of reporters are out there for all 3 days, and it's, you know, Thursday night you have the first round, second round, and third on Friday. You also usually have that first round press conference early in the day, so you are at that facility for a long time. And I love the NFL draft, so I don't mind it. But I was thinking back to last year's draft and thinking, all right, so I remember it was sitting next to Catherine Fitzgerald right when things caught on fire in the second round. Right when the trade happened for Josh Rosen, you didn't have all the details quite yet. All of a sudden, the Cardinals were on the clock, not only with their usual second-round pick, but also the pick they just acquired to trade Josh Rosen. And that ended up being Andy Isabella. Now, hindsight is 20/20. I will say that from the get-go. But looking back, let's say that the Arizona Cardinals took DK Metcalf instead of Andy Isabella. And Isabella, look, he showed a flash or two, but generally, I think, struggled in year one. That's not to say that year two, he can't take those strides and become that Wes Welker that, you know, Cliff Kingsbury wants him to be. That doesn't mean that Hakeem Butler, who was out for the year, can't be a DK Metcalf type out on the field, because he's a big-bodied receiver from Iowa State that tore it up with Brock Purdy, but really never was able to get going because he got hurt right off the bat. But if so, let's say Cardinals took that DK Metcalf with that pick. So with the Seahawks last year, 58 receptions, 900 yards, 7 touchdowns. He wasn't a perfect prospect. Yes, he had the freak photos in the weight room, and you know he looked like a cartoon character. Like, there's no doubt about that. But he did have some consistency issues on the field. There were games that he would completely take over at Ole Miss. There were games that you didn't know what he was doing. But he found that system and he has thrived. So let's say that happens now in this draft. Does that mean that you're still looking wide receiver, pick number one? Pick eight, but first pick for the Cardinals? No, I don't think so. I don't think that between the depth and that it's not a true need, I don't think you have to go wide receiver here. If I'm the Cardinals, I think it's much wiser, especially, and it all depends how the board shakes out and who the players are there. But if there's an offensive lineman that you feel good about, you go get him. If there's someone on that defense that can go help you and make it so Chandler Jones and Buda Baker aren't the two true impact players on that defense, you go do that, because you're going up against a Rams offense that struggled last year but is still pretty darn good. You're still going up against Russell Wilson. You're still going up against a very good 49ers team for 6 games out of the year. So you have to find a way to slow them down. The Mario Williams thought process of, hey, we have some really good offenses in our division, so we're going to move on from Reggie Bush, not take him first overall. We're going to try to get a guy that can help stop these. I think that's not a bad strategy to watch. But again, we are probably 5 or 6 weeks away from the NFL draft. If you can tell, I'm a fan. So a lot of good stuff there. And again, we'll see how free agency impacts that. What's gonna happen? What needs are going to be met for the Cardinals that now they can kind of focus in on certain position groups, at least in the first couple of rounds? Because as we've heard time and time again, even though it's not tried and true, you know, best player available usually works out decently for teams. So, and this is a team that you have your quarterback locked down. Other than that, I think you can really go anywhere because you're, you know, next best player is probably Chandler Jones, and he could use another guy on his end. Buda Baker has been great. Larry Fitzgerald consistently continues to do it, and I'm not exactly sure how he continues to do it at the rate that he is doing it. But you can always use some other weapons, just maybe later in the draft. So we'll see. So we've seen a lot of different organizations react differently to the coronavirus. And obviously this is an issue where people are losing their lives, people are getting infected, and people are still kind of wrapping their hands around the best ways of practice with this. And the same can be said with organizations, whether that is the MLB, the NHL, NBA, MLS, not having reporters in the clubhouse and having 6 feet in between them and their interview subjects. Yes, makes our job a little bit different, a little bit more difficult. Spring training is a little bit different now, the way that we are able to do those types of interviews. But they're trying to get a handle on it. I get that. Various leagues have either canceled their conference tournaments. Ivy League canceled their conference basketball tournament. Other are playing it in empty arenas. Pac-12 comes out. It's really kind of the announcement that they came out was it's the pretty much the locker rooms are going to be closed, but not much is going to change with the workflow of the Pac-12 tournament in Las Vegas this week. And it's essentially more hand sanitizer is going to be there and that sort of thing. And again, I don't know if there's one correct way to necessarily do this. There's no one way to properly handle this. Again, a lot of information is being flown out. Some people are saying it's overblown. Some people are saying it's not being reported or taken seriously enough. But it's just interesting how all of these areas and all of these leagues and all of these organizations are handling this differently. We've seen Coachella get pushed back. We've seen various concerts, various events. Pearl Jam put their tour on hold. But again, bigger thing is people are losing their lives. Everyone is trying to get a handle on this. So, again, I don't know if what the correct answer is there. But it's just interesting how each league, each organization has handled this. Coming up next, we're going to be talking some recruiting here. A lot going on, a lot of visits, some new faces that you may not have known about that we're going to cover. We covered it in the recruiting roundup, but also want to expand a little bit on that now that we have a little bit more time. That's coming up next on the Brad Sessmatt Show. Welcome back to the Brad Sessmatt Show. I'm Jordan Hamm filling in for the big guy. It's a rainy Wednesday. Tomorrow, actually getting out of town for my older brother's bachelor party. The four Ham boys are headed over to San Diego tomorrow. Group of friends are going to be meeting us there on Friday. And my brother is a simple man. He likes what he likes. And he said, I want the beach. I want golf. And I want my brothers and some of my best friends around me for my bachelor party. I was like, all right, cool. I think he might get the second third or the last third of that because looking at the rain forecasts, not only here, but in San Diego as well, it's going to be a consistent drizzle. So we'll see how that impacts the beach. Hopefully lightning is not in play so we can get around a golf in per his request. I already checked. I don't think there are Top Golfs in San Diego, so that's a bummer. That would have been a nice little alternative there. But we're going to be having some fun going out to San Diego this week. On the recruiting front, have a lot to cover. The thing that we covered in the recruiting roundup off the top this week was Hamilton, and they have some impact transfers coming in, and some people are going to freak out about transfers and, oh my God, you know, like I wish when it was the the neighborhood kids all stuck together and all that stuff. And listen, all that's good, but transfers are here to stay, so I'm not really concerned about it. I don't I also have an issue with people telling certain families what is and isn't best for them. And you know, kind of commenting on that. So whatever it may be, for you know, I think all three of these transfers, it was different circumstances for all of them on why they came to where they were, and now they're here. So that's what it is, you know. And that's and I think also people forget sometimes the world is much smaller now, and with youth leagues and social media, guys are more aware of each other. Growing up, when I was playing high school sports, I might have known the best player on each team that I was playing if they were in district, but I didn't really know, especially have a relationship with those types of, with, you know, opposing teammates or you know, opponents that I was going up against. And that's just because there wasn't much exposure for that. If we played Little League together, sure, but that might have happened somewhat consistently, but not all that consistently. Now everybody kind of knows everybody because of the social media and online presence. So guys are coming up together and want to play together, whether that's at the high school level, at the college level, that sort of thing. I think that also has a huge impact on people being more open to go out of district to various areas to play their football. And again, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I'm not necessarily pro-transfer, but I'm not anti, and I don't have, you know, it. Again, it's here to stay, so I'm not too, you know, concerned with that. As long as it's done legally, okay, that's fine. Anyway, so on this front, Hamilton, three transfers coming in, two of them from Colorado, from out of state, from two different programs, which I found pretty interesting. Nico Marchio is a left-handed quarterback, class of 2022, and a top-flight talent in the country when it comes to quarterback recruiting. He is watching his tape. I was telling Devin before the show, like, it is very impressive tape of, you know, what he's already able to accomplish. His motion kind of reminds me a little bit of, like, Jack Miller. Just, you know, one of those throws where it's just like flick of the wrist and it'll go 50 yards. Like those types of throws where it just looks easy for him. But he has offers from the likes of Georgia, of Michigan, Colorado, Washington State. He added some offers this week. Florida State, Florida came in. That was after we recorded the recruiting roundup. And he's going to be one of the, already one of the most recruited players in that 2022 class, which is already looking like a very strong class. I think right now it's probably him and Anthony Lucas are the two that are getting the most offers currently. Again, there's plenty of time, but you think of all the guys over at Chandler that added that ASU offer from the get-go. That's really what kind of jump-started some of this that made us aware of certain players. Was around this time last year, a little bit later in March, ASU brought in some of the top in-state 2022 kids and offered about a dozen of them. But I think there were about 50 of those players were on campus, and they, you know, the guys that they wanted to target, they went ahead and, you know, threw an offer to, and it's guys from all over the state, guys from, you know, different position groups. Gavin Brocious over at Desert Edge, Trent Ramsey, who was at Higley. He's now in Florida. His dad got a job out there, so he has transferred over there. But you think there are six guys from Chandler that got that offer. Obviously, there's some familiarity over there with Sean Aguano, so he probably knew that there were guys coming up that were going to be pretty special. And so far, they have proven that. When you look at guys like Keon Grays, who was step for step with Jalen Richmond as the leading receiver last year, and he was a sophomore. Caron Adams is a guy that is just an absolute burner and is going to be really dynamic for him, for Chandler this year. And, you know, found the field a little bit, but not, I think, Day-Day Hunter really had a lot of people, caught a lot of people by surprise at his ability to, you know, really just kind of take over the game. So he's another guy to certainly look out for, but there are guys along the offensive line, along the defensive line, And Anthony Lucas was one of those guys over at Chaparral that got that offer. And now you're seeing the likes of Oklahoma, Michigan. Both of those D-line coaches were at ASU at various times. Sean Nua, who's with Michigan now, and Jamar Cain, who had worked with Lucas when he was on campus at various camps. So there's a familiarity there with them. And especially in the case of Cain, like, it didn't take long for Jamar Cain and Oklahoma to offer Lucas once he got over there. So those are some of the top 2022 guys, but it's a really strong class. And another guy within that class is Michael Massounis, who's a tight end, was at Sabino. Dad got a job in Chandler. Now he's up with Hamilton, and a big athletic tight end. Can make, you know, all the catches. You look at his tape, it's a lot of one-handed, a lot of contested catches in the end zone. Can also block. And just you look at what he could look like over the next 2 years as he continues to develop, and I think he could be a pretty special player. And then the other one from Colorado, Jack Howell, a safety predominantly, but can play all over the field, play both sides of the ball. He comes from Valor Christian in Colorado, and another dynamic athlete. Has an offer from Colorado State right now. There was some coaching staff changes over there, but they just reaffirmed that offer to him. So a lot of athleticism, a lot of talent going to Hamilton. So a lot to look out for with those guys. And right now it's, you know, a lot of people are getting on campus. Ty Thompson, talked to him last week. He's going to like four different campuses on the West Coast. A lot of guys checking out Oregon. USC, it's interesting. You know, for as much as USC has struggled and as much as it was publicized how much they struggled in recruiting this past cycle, a lot of Arizona guys I've talked to has said USC is on them and on them hard. Bram Walden, Quentin Somerville, you know, some of those types of guys, some of the top players in the state, they're really looking hard at USC. And I think that could be a couple of different things. One, we're seeing Arizona guys do very well with the Trojans. Yeah, it's been a down year and a down year recruiting wise for them. But Keaton Slovis came in and took over. Isaiah Polamau, the safety over at Mountain Point from a couple of years ago, battled some injuries early on in his career, led the team in interceptions, and Austin Jackson has been the anchor along that offensive line the past couple of years out of North Canyon, and he's a guy that could be a first or second round pick in the NFL draft. So I think that they can certainly point to that. I think this also might be a reaction to ASU. ASU going hard in Southern California to try to get the bulk of their recruiting class. I think USC is saying, all right, we certainly need to close up Southern California and try to get those guys to stay. But we're also going to target a lot of Arizona guys that much more. They've always done a pretty good job of targeting Arizona guys, especially the elite guys. But it seems like it's like a full court press now with Quentin Somerville, Bram Walden, both of them on campus. But yeah, I was at that Under Armour event a couple weeks ago, and it just, you know, one of the common questions I ask is, who's recruiting you hardest? And time and again, I heard USC, you know, Oregon and USC for some of these elite guys. So it was really interesting to hear that. As I said, Ty Thompson has been, he's going up and down the coast right now, checking out Oregon. Jonah Miller from Sal Point. Jonah Miller looks like he has completely transformed his body. This time last year, we were looking at him, and you know, I heard from some coaches that it was like he might almost be getting too big because he has that God-given size and length, and he might be bulking up a little bit too much. It looks like he has completely slimmed down, like that athletic offensive tackle look that you want. And he was just up at Oregon as well. So I know Oregon's on him. Texas is on him. I saw Stephen Ortiz was at Oregon State and Oregon as well. Oregon State, I think, is going to steal some guys this year in the state. They not only have they made Arizona a priority in recent years and definitely gotten the offers out, they're hitting on guys. They're, you know, the Cooper Darlings of the world. you know, he had a Pac-12 offer from ASU, but quickly committed to Oregon State. But you look at a guy like Hamilcar Rashid, who was vastly overlooked in state, and part of that was due to his grades, and he fully admits that. I did a story on him this fall. But now he's killing it with Oregon State, and he's coming back for his senior year, and he'll be a draft pick. And he led the nation in tackles for loss and was like second in the nation in sacks, like just absolutely tore it up. So they can point to him, and you're seeing Oregon State be more competitive now. You know, Jonathan Smith is doing a really nice job kind of building up that program, because it was, they were the doormat in the conference for a long time. That's kind of how Colorado was as well, you know, right when they joined the conference. And it took Mike McIntyre, a little bit of time, but he did a good job. And then certain new iterations of coaching staffs have come in. But their new standard is no longer like the 3-9s. It's now 6-6, 7-5. Mel Tucker was, 5-7, but competitive in all of those games. And now they have a new coaching staff in there. But they were effective with in-state recruiting as well. I think Oregon State is doing the same thing right now. And I think that they're going to get some guys that might have, quote-unquote, bigger offers. But I think that they'll have some success here in the state. Because you've just seen that sustainable attention that they've got, and the relationships that they've built in state. So I think that they're going to be effective. I think so. When it comes to recruiting the entire state of Arizona. The rest of the kind of the field, I'm really intrigued how Stevie Rocker's fall goes. The Canyon Del Oro running back. I saw him at Under Armour. I saw him in San Antonio. He was at the All-American Combine. He looked like a completely different player. Looked like he had added 15 pounds of muscle. Like he looked like he had bulked up. Sounds like he's fully healthy. He struggled last year, just kind of staying on the field. And it's just tough to be consistent when you can't stay on the field and you got those nagging injuries and that sort of thing. But he was able to do that. I'm looking forward to see the production and the offers that come with that. He has about 5 offers right now: Cal, U of A, Nevada, those types of programs. And then Queen Creek is going to be a very interesting group that comes through, because Trey Reynolds has the most offers right now, but he's one of the top linebackers in the state. Hunter Barth, the athlete getting recruited mainly as a safety. I would think USC is sitting well with him right now, because they were the first to offer him, and a guy, and they were early, and it sounds like they've been consistent with him as well. Isaiah Glass, we're seeing more and more Pac-12 programs offer him. Washington State and Oregon State were the first two. Iowa State, Arizona have come in. Since then, Utah, Oklahoma State. So bigger programs are starting to look at him, and he's another one, like Jonah Miller, super athletic tackle. That's one thing he said that Oregon State loved about him, is they like, they don't necessarily want the bulky offensive tackle. They want the athlete, and he just wrapped up basketball season, about to do track, and he certainly looked the part athletically. And then you have Crew Jackson. You watch him move on the field, and like, he's just so long. It's incredible. He can make up a lot. You know, if he's a step behind, his arms are so long, he can make up with a PBU or an interception, and he did exactly that at the Under Armour Combine. And then Trey Brown. This guy is having a great week or two. Over at Arcadia, outside linebacker, had no offers roughly 10 days ago, now has 5. Montana State, Washington State, UNLV, NAU, those are the types of programs looking at him. Was a productive player last year, has good size, and I think the spring is going to be a really good time for him as well to really add those. Because you see with certain guys, you kind of have to be patient, then all of a sudden there's this snowball effect. And I would imagine that this new coaching staff at Washington State probably had discussed with him when they were over at Hawaii. And now they're pulling the trigger on him. And other programs are taking note as well. So cool to see him kind of get those offers in quickly. We'll see what it looks like the next couple of weeks for him as March rolls on through. But hearing from a lot of guys, it sounds like they want to make up their minds over the summer before their senior season. A good chunk of them, Bram Walden might be an All-American commitment. We'll see. He got the invite to the Under Armour game. We'll see if he – I don't think he's accepted yet, but he was very excited about it. But there's always an option where maybe – you know, the one out in San Antonio invites him as well. So, I think you look down this list, there could be quite a few guys that are getting All-American looks as well. Kai Milner, another guy up at Cal, was checking it out. The quarterback that was manning the Higley offense before him, Spencer Brash, is over at Cal now. He took a visit up there. I know the in-state schools are looking at him hard, Cal as well, but Michigan State with the new staff. He had offers from Colorado and from Michigan State, so they kind of reaffirmed everything, and, like, you know, there's already that relationship there, so that could play a role. Brian Lewerke, you know, an Arizona guy and a guy that I know that he knows well, had a very productive career out there. So a lot of stuff going on, long story short, on the recruiting front of things. Coming up next, you're going to hear from Brock Dew. We talked at Thy Luna last week out on the patio. It was a great time, and he filled us in on his recruitment and kind of just what he wants to do the next couple of years. That's coming up next on the Brad Sussman Show. This is a very special edition of the recruiting roundup at Thy Luna in Chandler. I'm Jordan Hamm, joined by Castile offensive lineman Brock Dew. And Brock, thanks so much for joining us. And just what's this offseason been like for you? I hear you wrap up football, go straight into wrestling, tracks on the horizon as well. Just what have the past few months been like for you?
It's been a crazy, crazy change from going to, you know, Friday Night Lights to long 2 days in the wrestling room. So it's been kind of a, you know, football is a four-hour thing and wrestling's a 48. Mm-hmm. So it's been kind of that difference of technique and the long hours and stuff like that. But, you know, our strength cycle actually switches. So now we lift 4 days a week instead of three. And we run, I want to say, 3 to 4 times, depending on how much we can get in that week. So it's just kind of a increase of volume in the weight room and, you know, just a different sport.
With those change of schedules and that kind of shock to the system, does that help you on the gridiron, just kind of knowing whatever happens, you know your body's going to react properly?
Yes. So for sure, for wrestling, you know, it's that different, that leverage, learning how to, you know, get those handholds helps a lot with hand fighting, and it's just that different muscle groups that you work just to become a better athlete overall. And, you know, in track, it's working that balance when you're spinning and, you know, working on improving your PRs and just focusing on the little things of the technique. So I got to say, it all adds to me being a better athlete and being able to perform better on the football field.
And as you get prepped for track, you were telling me off camera, you're helping fix your sister's car and doing everything. You know, it seems like a lot of free time going on around for you here this spring.
Yeah, it's one of the times of the year where I'm like, you know, I got to find something to do with myself. I'm so busy all the time that, you know, I'm just going around the house, you know, pulling weeds, doing whatever my mom needs me, catching up on some missing work because I had a big state tournament and missed a couple days. But, you know, it's been a fun, relaxing couple weeks.
Nice. What's going on in the classroom? You know, how are the grades? What's the favorite class? What are you working on the academic side?
You know, classes this year they're tough. You know, it's junior year, but it's been a lot of fun. I got to say, favorite class is AP Statistics, just because it's something to work hard at. You know, it's that great feeling of, wow, I just did that after, you know, doing well on a test. But it's been fun to, you know, learn that kind of abstract kind of math that I've never been in before. And it's a break from all the algebra. So, and then, you know, grades are going good. I think I finished with all A's this quarter. So that was awesome.
Yeah, math always got confusing for me when they started throwing letters in.
So yes, sir.
That's when I got into trouble. Well, your offers reflect that. A lot of Ivy League schools coming in.
Yes,
a lot
sir.
Of academies looking at you. In terms of the offer sheet right now, just what schools are recruiting you the hardest right now?
Right now, it's pretty much all equal. You know, every school I'm looking at equally, and I'm just thankful for the opportunity that they, you know, have given me to maybe come out and play for their program.
With the programs, you know,
Is there one or two that are jumping out to you in terms of what you want to learn more about? You know, a school that you may not be all that familiar with, but you're intrigued and want to learn more and kind of do that research, whether it's on a visit or with your own time?
Yeah, that's been the case for most of them. I haven't been able to, you know, my sister went to ASU, so I know the most about ASU just because she went there. So from where I am, I'm just trying to, you know, gather as much information as I can about these schools to, you know, try to make the best educated choice.
When Oregon came calling, that first offer, what was that experience like for you?
You know, that was a shock to me. That was awesome. That was, you know, my first FBS school offer, and that was just it was a dream come true to realize that I finally had an opportunity to be able to play at that, you know, that TV level where I've been watching them since I was a little boy. Just like that was a dream come true.
Mm-hmm. Now I know that Brad has talked to you off camera, you know, about your size and not the prototypical size.
Yes, sir.
But you're still getting it done, and you're still, you know, showing schools at the next level that you can do this. When you hear the feedback from schools, what do they want to see more of? What do they like about your game that they think could translate to the next level?
They've been telling me they like that I, you know, my physicality.
Here in 2020, protecting what matters most. Guys, don't.
You know, the biggest thing is, for me, it's probably the wrestling helps me out the most. You know, it's that different conditioning and then, you know, the leverage and the balancing of it.
Mm-hmm. I was at the Under Armour Combine and saw you doing very well. And, you know, Coach mentioned how off the field you can be the nicest guy in the world, but you show that little bit of nasty for about 5 to 8 seconds at a time.
Sir.
What's the mentality when you step on the field?
You know, it's that killer instinct. You know, I got to do my job, and you're stopping me from doing my job. You know, I got to protect this guy behind me, and I've worked so hard in practice and out of practice and every sprint that I can't let you beat me. Mm-hmm. So that's the biggest thing, and it's just, you know, it's keeping my brothers that I worked so hard with safe.
On the visit front, are you going to be checking out any schools, making any trips here the next few months?
As of now, I'm the only one I have planned is I'm taking a junior day visit to San Jose State, and then anything other than that is up in the air to be determined.
Okay. Do you have an ideal timeline of when you'd like to make a commitment?
I would like to have an idea of where I'm going to be committed by December.
Okay.
So that's
early signing day?
Yes.
Okay. Cool. Where do you feel like you've grown the most this offseason?
Probably the biggest thing is conditioning. That's probably where I've grown the most, because I went from, you know, being able to, I think I ran like a 9-minute mile to like a 7 or like something crazy like that. And I can't remember the exact time, but conditioning is a big part of wrestling, and that's just been felt a lot better with it.
You're getting it done in the classroom. What would you want to do if you were to hang up the cleats at any point, whether that's a year from now, a couple years from now, many years from now?
Yeah.
You know, what would you want to be doing once you're done with your playing career?
Mechanical engineering.
Okay. Anything specific within that field?
You know, probably something cool. I think it'd be awesome to work with some big 3D printers, because
okay.
I know I have a cousin of mine who actually is a mechanical engineer, and he works with these big $1 million 3D printers, and he just makes whatever he wants, which I think is pretty awesome.
All right. Well, I know he's going to be successful on the field, going to be successful off the field. He's Brock Dew, Castile offensive lineman, and this is the recruiting roundup over at Valle Luna.
Some things I didn't finish here, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things I feel like I need to work on. I feel like there's a lot of things that Coach Herm and Coach Lewis can help me with, especially Coach AP. I like the fact that we're changing our defense a little bit, and you know, having a new additions like Coach Hawk and all that is going to be good. It's going to be good for us. And for me especially, I feel like this is going to be my year to just buckle down and just get what I needed to get done. You know, he's just telling me, like, you know, you the guy, you the captain. So, you know, that's the only thing he need to say to me. I'm going to make sure that all these guys is ready to play in August and September. So people will tell you, you know, you're great. Okay, well, now instead of me being like, oh, thank you, you know what I'm saying, I ask him, how am I great? You know, explain to me, what do I do that's so great? And a lot of people can't tell me. So then that's how I figure, like, I got things to work on, you know what I mean? That expectation is still there, but at the same time, like, I just humbled myself and just know what I got to do to get where I need to get. At the end of the day, I feel like in life, if you're more available, then, you know, the better outcome you can have. So I feel like whatever you want me to play, whatever you want me to do, you want me to play nickel, you want me to play safety, you want me to play corner, I'll do it. Shoot, you want me to play linebacker, I'll try it. Ain't no guarantees I'll get the job done. But at the end of the day, you know, coach has been asking me about the safety position, the nickel position, the corner position. I just make sure I note down everything that I need to know. I need to know the whole defense. I'm gonna be the captain. I got 2, 4, 5, 6 greats that have been in the NFL that know about this, know this game, and know what it takes to be a guy. So, you know, I just got to take it with a grain of salt every day. I'm in Coach Lewis. I'm in Coach Hawks. I'm in Coach AP's office every day, asking them what I can do. You know what it is and how to help this team.